May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
Good afternoon and welcome to Attention Please. I'm Phil Andrus. On this week's Attention Please, our first topic is the Holiday Extravaganza, a co-production of the Jefferson County Historical Society and KPTZ. With me to talk about the extravaganza are Shelley Levins, Executive Director of the Historical Society, and Robert Nathan, who plays French horn with the Summer Band Brass Quintet, who will perform in the extravaganza. Following that conversation, I'm speaking with Rose and Doug Eisler. Rose and Doug own the Ineos Valley Country Store, which is located near the head of Ineos Valley in the eastern part of Okanagan County. On the same property is Rose's restaurant, Not Doug's. Why that is the name is part of our conversation. Then we will talk about the Ineos Valley Community Foundation, founded by Rose and some of her Valley friends to help build community in the Valley and address the challenging conditions under which many Valley residents live. I begin with Shelley Levins. The Historical Society and KPTZ are hosting the extravaganza, and many people are involved with this. Many people on your staff, Tara McCauley most notably, but she's away, so you're going to tell us, I'm going to talk about the music a little bit, including with Robert Nathan, who's a French horn player. But what sort of special fun activities have you planned for the event?
Well, we're opening our doors up wide, and we've got card making that we're doing in the classroom, I believe. And then we have our exhibits that y'all can take a look at while you're here at the museum listening to music and listening to the interviews. So Women Outdoors is one that we've just put together, and Jenny Westall, who is our board president, is going to join us, or join Phil on the radio that day to talk a little bit about that show and some of her own holiday traditions. And then we have Maria Coriel Martin's Witnessing Climate Change that will be in the same exhibition space where the event will be held, in the what we call the Ferguson Gallery. And Maria will join us that day as well to talk to Phil about her work and the significance of this exhibition. So, and yeah, should be amazing.
And when I talk to Jenny Westall, actually, she may well talk about what you want her to talk about, but she's going to talk a bit about the holiday season at the Town Tavern. Town Tavern being a famous historic place in Port Townsend, no longer, the building is still, the tavern is not, but she lived there for a while, and she knows a lot about the history of it, so we're going to have that conversation as well.
That's great. She Hello. Has amazing stories. She's just full of stories.
Uh-huh. She is indeed. And the music, by the way, this event Saturday next, December 11th, noon till 4 o'clock. Music is the Alternators, La Cour Criminelle Cajun Band, Gene Lenke Jazz Trio, Holiday Jazz Trio it is. Trevor Hansen plays guitar all by himself, and the Summer Band Brass Quintet. And for that I have... Let's see, he's not muted. So, Robert Nathan, hello, Robert.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Robert. You are a big part of this event because, for me at least, we've never had a brass band, a brass quintet, nothing like that in all of my not terribly lengthy 10-year history with KPTZ. So, this is kind of cool. Could you tell me about the history of this group and who's in it and what you play?
Well, thanks, Phil. Exciting for us. And I think Cheryl Smoker, who's also in our group, she
Hi,
might be on the line.
There
she is, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Played.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, Cheryl. Good morning. This group is kind of new. We played at the Veterans Day ceremony just last month at the American Legion, and it's a group composed of musicians from our Port Townsend Summer Band, which has been around for many years, but this group formed mainly because of COVID, since we couldn't fit the whole band on the stage at the Legion safely. We wanted to still present some music. So we got together and said, how about if we do a small group? And we've had a lot of fun with it. Even the rehearsals are just a blast. I mean, gosh, for wind players, it's pretty exciting just to be able to play together after a year and a half of COVID limits. So it's pretty new. It's a mix of musicians. Kim Clark is a longtime music teacher in the local schools, plays trumpet, and she's, just a fine player, does a lot of soloing in various groups whenever needed. She's so helpful. And Cheryl, who you just heard from, she lives in Port Angeles. She drives a long way to come and play second trumpet. And she's been playing in our orchestra for years and in the band here locally. she's retired. Kim Clark's still working. I'm retired veterinarian, but, you know, this music is a hobby for a lot of us, along with our regular occupations.
Okay, so you guys are going to be, I have to move this along, Robert. Going to be on the show, which begins at noon, on the show about 1 o'clock, and play for about half an hour. That will include conversations like the conversation we're having. And remind me the name of the person whom I can't see, please. There, she's there.
Oh,
it's Carol. Yeah. Carol or Cheryl?
Carol.
Hello.
Carol.
Well, all I'm going to ask you is, again, the instrument you play?
I play trumpet.
Uh-huh.
I toot my own horn.
It sounds like you do. And briefly, what's going to be on your music stand? Continue. Cheryl.
This is our second practice for Christmas music. We did the patriotic thing for 4th of July and the Veterans Day. And so we have several that we can't pronounce the names because one's Polish and the other one I think is in German, but it's actually Lo, How a Rose There Blooming in English. And I'm not sure about the other ones because we haven't decided, but it's just fun to play.
So that's one good thing about
we're meeting again tonight, Phil, and we'll kind of nail down a playlist. But it's a lot of familiar Christmas carols, you know, Carol of the Bells, Joy to the World, those kind of things. And then the one she mentioned is Cheryl mentioned Lulaje Jezunwi. It's a Polish lullaby, and it's recognizable. A lot of people don't know the name of it, but when they hear it, you know, it's just a real, you know, peaceful tune. Walking in a winter wonderland, we'll line up some fun looking at our time limits and our own limits. Guy Smith plays trombone, and Mike McLaren, another longtime music teacher, plays tuba, and then I play French horn. So that's the group. And it's a lot of fun. We're not all of us are professionals. A couple have been, we just found it a good mix and thought, sure, we'll do it. You had mentioned to Tigran, our orchestra conductor, that you're looking for a group. So we got sort of volunteered.
Volunteered, and we're looking forward to it. I was thinking that one of the wonderful things about playing a brass instrument rather than singing is that you don't have to worry about translations.
Oh, yeah, mostly.
That was supposed to be a joke.
Yeah, I know, but so French horn players have to do a lot of transposing on the fly. So
I see.
Read one note, play another. For the most part, it is very universal. Across the countries, yeah. We love all the different cultures that get brought in through the Christmas carols.
Robert,
yeah, music is the universal language.
Thank you. I need to move on to my next segment of the show. So I'm going to say thank you to Robert Nathan. Thank you to, still didn't get your name, ma'am.
Cheryl.
Cheryl it is. Thank you, Cheryl. Shelley Levins, of course, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll
Looking forward to seeing everyone on Saturday. Come out.
And that's Saturday noon. Saturday noon. This coming Saturday. I've never had such a talkative bunch of people on the air in my entire life, but I am going to mute the whole lot of them so that I can bring up Rose Eisler. Hello, Rose.
Well, good morning, Phil.
And Doug.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm a little scattered here all of a sudden. is your last name the same, Doug?
Yes.
Okay. So these are folks I know from a place far away from here, Ennius Valley. I know it because Emmy Lou and I have a cabin near there. But
sure,
because all the folks listening, if not nearly all of them, don't have a clue what we're talking about, I need one of you to explain, where is Ennius Valley?
Well, we are about 150 miles north of Wenatchee. We are approximately 25 miles outside of Tenasket, which is the nearest town. You do know that we're not a town here. We're a community. We are out in the mountains out here. Lots of people like yourself have cabins, weekend retreats, so to say. But then there's other ones like us. We tough it out all year long in the winter.
Describe the winter. Typical winter.
Cold. A lot of snow. This morning I woke up, it was snowing and it was 18 degrees outside. The plows are still not out yet. So Ineos Valley Road is an absolute mess. So this is one of the days that people in the valley, if we can stay home, we stay home.
And you are the owners of Ineos Valley Store, or I think Country Store you call it, and also Not Doug's Restaurant. So we're going to talk about them in order. The store first. What is the history of it? Describe it to us, for us, please.
So the store was actually originally built by locals in 1982. And as the tale is told locally, they were sick of having to drive to town to buy their six pack of beer. So a few of them got together and built a store. And so people didn't have to drive to town to get beer. It's obviously turned into much more than that. Now it's gas, propane, groceries, beer. We've even got a gift shop. And we really try to cater to the needs of the community by them telling us what they'd like to buy. And we try to source it at a reasonable price and make it available to them to save that long trip to town just for one or two items.
And by the way, it's 280 miles to 300 miles from where I am right now, 280 from our house. So it is on near Highway 20. That's how far away it is. The Ineos Valley Community Store does not look like a 7-Eleven. What does it look like?
It does not. It is a hand-built log cabin. It's very unique. It has a lot of nostalgia for people. I have people that come in that haven't been here since they were children. And the first thing they do is go to the ice cream cooler and get an ice cream bar, because that is what they used to do as kids. You know, there's so many memories that people make out here as children, and then they bring their families when they have kids. So it's a pretty neat place. You know that Ineos Valley is pretty special.
I do know that, and I didn't know that when we bought our cabin, when we actually bought the property and built the cabin. I've come to realize that. The store itself was open and closed and open and closed for a while. It's now very much open. What have you done to make it, I would say, in the community so much more secure than it was for a while?
You know, for us, it was building a community and being a part of the community. You know, without having the relationship with the people that live around you, you know, you could still have a business, but, you know, we've prospered so much more because of the relationships that we have built. You know, the people here are pretty amazing. It's one of those places where, you know, we know just about everybody. I don't know how, but we do. And people are meeting each other here, which is nice. We've had people that met on our porch that, you know, they've both lived in the valley for over 20 years and didn't even know the other existed, you know. And it is about, you know, listening to the community and the things that they want us to have in the store. I mean, even if it's something that we don't actually carry, because people typically don't buy, we'll do special orders for that specific person. You know, when Doug goes to town to pick up freight, he will pick up their specific supplies that they need as well. You know, and it's about just listening to what they need and what they want.
I think it really kind of comes down to successfully operate a business like ours. You make decisions not based only on the bottom line. And it's not necessarily just because it works on paper doesn't mean that it works can't come to fruition. You have to make decisions based on the people in the community around us, because we've got a relationship with each and every person in the community. They realize we make life a lot easier for them, and we realize that without them, we have nothing. And so it really, we do what we can when we can to better their lives, and not just with the events, which I know we'll get to, but, you know, just if we can save them a trip to town for a special gallon of milk because that's what they have to drink, we're interested in saving them that trip to town for a number of reasons. We want people, whether they live here or they're just here on the weekend, such as yourself, when you guys come, we want them to be able to be here and not spend all day driving to town to get a tube of toothpaste or a certain gallon of milk.
So in that vein, I suppose, this year you opened Not Doug's Restaurant. Now, Not Doug's, explain.
Well, when I was first dating Doug, I was working at a restaurant in Republic. And, you know, I would come home at night and, you know, I thought I was being nice. I would bring home a couple pieces of Kahlua cream pie and I would put it in the fridge because I didn't get home till, you know, between 2 and 3 in the morning. And I would wake up the next day and he not only ate his pie, he ate my pie. And it started to kind of progress from there that I literally started writing Not Doug's on all of my food just so that he wouldn't eat it. And now I have a restaurant full of food and it is Not Doug's because he would eat me out of house and restaurant, I'm telling you.
It's an inside joke that started a few years ago. And to tell the rest of the story, when we decided to go ahead and start the build and open the new business and procure licensing and stuff, the first question that really came up is, well, what are we going to name the darn thing? And I don't know. We went and did that. And I said, well, it's Not Doug's, or it's not going to be Doug's. And she goes, that's perfect. That's it. That's what it is going to be named, is Not Doug's.
Yeah, because even when we go on a picnic and I make sandwiches, I still write Not Doug's on my sandwich so that he doesn't eat it.
He isn't that big a guy. I'm a little surprised at this.
He eats like a garbage truck, though, let me tell you.
Very well. So the store we've talked about, the restaurant briefly, and it, by the way, is quite a fun little restaurant. And we got a nice biscuit and gravy, it was. Yes.
Biscuits and gravy.
What's the special for today?
Today we have a ham and cheese omelet with hash browns and toast for breakfast. And for lunch, we have a grilled turkey and a Swiss sandwich with homemade potato salad. And the good thing, too, is we're not fast food. We make everything from scratch, you know, so the food is being very well received. We have people driving all the way from Omak, Okanagan, Konkanelli, Republic,
Brewster,
we had somebody come from Pateras just to come and eat. So it's been pretty fun.
It's a real success. I didn't know it was there until our last visit. When we come for weeks. And it's nice to know that there will be a restaurant to go to and so close by. But on to the Ennis Valley Community Foundation.
Yes.
Why? Describe the valley economically. Describe the extent of poverty in the valley and above the valley.
So the extent of poverty is pretty high. You know, a lot of people out here, they're out here for one reason or another, but there are a lot of people to make their living. I mean, they're out cutting firewood in this snow today, you know, to sell. You know, they plow during the winter if they have a plow. A lot of people work right here in the valley. They literally live hand to mouth. You know, they don't have a regular income coming in. And the foundation didn't actually come into fruition until last December, last year. But when we first bought the store in 2018, we purchased the store. It was in May. And, you know, it was about a month and a half before Thanksgiving. You know, we had started to meet a lot of our community members. And, you know, we were talking about what our plans were for Thanksgiving. And, you know, I'm like, how are we going to have Thanksgiving at home? And Doug's like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, what about Bill? You know, what about Bob? They don't have any families. You know, I'm going to feel terrible sitting at home with our family eating Thanksgiving, knowing that they're at home in their RVs and have nothing. So that is kind of where it started. We hosted our very first annual Thanksgiving dinner, and the first dinner we fed 125 people. On the Easter after that, we did 200 people. And we did that until COVID hit. And then we were not able to do our community dinners. But we, you know, we did Christmas for the kids from the first year on. It was just me and my store. I would just take donations. And the first year, me and Doug, I have a small cabin. And we had piles of kids' boots that we had to go through, and we made food baskets for people. We spent an entire day delivering, I think it was 67 food baskets, and we never left the valley, and it took us 8 hours because these roads would go quite up there. And that's honestly when I realized how bad some people's situations are, you know, when we went to their homes. Some people live, I mean, in little more than shacks, with, you know, hardly even a door on the building. And so we continued to do that for the first couple of years. And then my best friend, since I was 12, moved here to the Valley, and we have a neighbor. He actually, he's a weekender. He works for Google, and he wanted to help us to start a foundation. And so he read like a 500-page book on how to start a foundation, and that's what he did. And so now we have the Ineos Valley Community Foundation. Last year we had 71 kids for Christmas. This year we have 69. We spent about 12 hours on Cyber Monday on Amazon shopping for all these kids. These are all donated funds. We spent a little, almost $8,000. We buy them coats, we buy them boots, gloves, hats, thermals. They all get a gift off of their Santa wish list, and they all get a Christmas stocking from the Grinch and Cindy Lou Who that we will have at our Christmas event.
So your Christmas event, where is your Christmas event held?
It is outside in the snow at my store. That's where we have all of our events. We do not, because we're not a town, and we're so far away from the city limit, you know, we're kind of on our own out here. So our next thing that we're going to try to do, is starting next year, we're going to start raising some money. We're looking for a piece of land, here in the Valley that's accessible year round. And we want to build a community center, you know, so that I don't have 70 kids standing outside in the freezing weather to be able to come and do their Christmas event. We also do trunk or treat for Halloween. Easter, we also did outside. Our neighbors at the store were kind enough to allow us, they cut the fence so that we could use their field to be able to do the Easter egg hunt. But it also rained. It also hailed that day. Thankfully, it dried up and ended up being a nice day. But at some point, it will be nice to be able to have an actual building that, you know, we can go inside and everybody's not kind of freezing their tushes off.
So you have serious fundraising to do, but it sounds like you have serious ambition to do it as well. Rose, you told me when we spoke about the foundation that you grew up under difficult circumstances.
I did. I grew up between Curlew and Republic and Wakanda, which is just down the road from us. My mom was a CNA when I was a child, but I mean, she didn't make very much money. I believe there was one year she made about $5,000 for a family of five. You know, we had a small little farm and a garden. You know, we did not have electricity. We did not have running water. We did not have indoor plumbing. You know, and this was back in the day before solar. You know, I mean, they had solar, but it was when it was $15,000 a panel. It's not like it is today. So, you know, for me, you know, I see the people that live here in the Valley and their living conditions, and I can absolutely relate to them, you know, and I care about them, and I want to help them as much as I possibly can, because I understand that if we didn't provide boots or coats for their kids would be cold, you know, because they do not have the money to purchase these items for their children.
So
very large number.
I know that it's going to take a significant sum to build the community center, but you have ongoing fundraising that you do, for example, for the children for Christmas.
And you.
Yes. How do you go about doing that, and how can people donate to the foundation?
So we have started a website, which is, if you go to www.avcommunityfoundation.com, you can donate there. We also do donations in store. We have, during our events, we will always have a donation jar up. We did at Not Doug's this year, we did a free Thanksgiving for people in our community who were in need of a Thanksgiving dinner for one reason or another. And we did have some people that donated for that as well. You know, it's the other way. I mean, people can mail a check to the store as well, which they have done, which is 1165 Ennis Valley Road, Tenasket, Washington. That's 98855. And, you know, we have annual yard sales twice a year at the store. So the foundation does also set up like a hot dog booth, and we sell hot dogs, and all the proceeds go to the foundation. You know, so there's numerous ways that we try to raise money for the foundation.
Uh-huh. And do you have a goal for, say, 2022? Do you organize your fundraising in that way where you set a goal and then work like the devil to achieve it?
You know, our goal is just to meet the needs of our community. Sometimes we don't even know what it is. You know, we also help people that have house fires. We've had quite a few of those, providing them, you know, gift cards for down at the store for gas and things that they need. I have emergency backpacks set up for them, you know, and if they need a motel for a day or two. So it's not just kids events. You know, we do help out in other situations as well. And honestly, it's, we just fundraise our, you know, as much as we possibly can. And at the end, we just hope we have enough money to cover it.
Okay. Rose and Doug, Rose Eisler, Doug Eisler, Ennis Valley, everything. I nominate Rose for mayor of Ennis Valley. Thank you very much for being with me on Attention, Please. And I have to go now. My name is Phil Andrus, and this show will be broadcast again Monday today at 5 o'clock, Saturday at noon. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.